Lord, thank you for all of your promises that you have made to us. Thank you for the promise that you are coming back. I pray, Lord, that this morning you would fill us with expectation of your return, and that that would do the work you would have it do within each of our lives. We also, as we anticipate your return, Lord, we also pray for eyes to see the different ways you want to show up in our lives, in our world, in our life, that your kingdom would be furthered. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In ninth grade, I was at a sock hop. It was a little bit later, 60s. Rim shot. as guys would do at sock hops, we'd hang out in the gym for a while, but then we'd end up leaving and walking the halls. And I had a biology teacher, Mr. Morse, and he was in his room, and we all liked Mr. Morse. And he began to tell us about Jesus was going to return. And that certainly grabbed my attention. Grabbed my attention in such a way that I went home and told my mom and dad about Jesus was going to return. And then they talked about religious fanatics and tried to get me back to normal. But I never really got back to normal, having heard that Jesus was coming back. And I'd been raised in the church. When I say raised in the church, I had to go on Sunday mornings when I couldn't convince my mom I was sick. I had to go. And so I went to Sunday school, all those things. But even a creed that we would proclaim talked about it. But I just was surprised. It was like, why didn't someone tell me? And so the reality is, as you know, Jesus is coming back. Jesus spoke about it repeatedly in his earthly ministry. The Old Testament makes mention of Christ's return 1,500 times. That's pretty good. 23 books of the New Testament refer to the return of Christ, a total of over 300 times. Matthew 24:29, that we heard from this morning, and it talked about what this is going to look like. And it talks about, then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. When we had a year plus ago, the eclipse of the sun, total eclipse, and I remember sitting on our deck and getting ready for it and looking up at the sun with the proper glasses and seeing this thing happening and seeing this shadow being cast upon my backyard and beginning to hear the birds that would normally sing their songs at evening began to sing those evening songs. And there's a quiet, there was a still that just came upon this area. And I think about the coming of Christ, what this will look like when Christ comes in the glory of heaven, in the clouds of heaven, and angels with him, and that this is something bigger than an eclipse, okay? The eclipse in my book was really top-notch. But then you compare that to the reality that the coming of Christ is real, it's prophesied, Jesus doesn't lie, the Bible doesn't lie, history doesn't lie. It's all true that Christ is going to return. Amazing to think of Christ's return. And for those who are alive, maybe it's us when it happens here on earth, but those that will experience, everyone's going to experience it, whether on earth or in heavenly places. We're going to experience it together. The full lordship of Christ coming upon this world. Sin has already been broken through the cross and resurrection. But what the reality of that victory, as it spreads over the world, every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Christ is Lord. What a day. What a day that's going to be. Pain, the suffering, all the effects of the fall washed out. A new heaven, a new earth. What a day. Scripture also talks about how it's going to happen. And this is one that I had a lot of fun with as a kid after I heard this message. It talks about, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. I've found since the 70s, I've tracked this, that there's always someone that feels they have a prophetic word that the Lord's coming back next Friday or next Tuesday. And you know, the date just keeps changing. There's a reason. The Lord doesn't want you to know. He wants you to know that he's coming back. He wants you to know what it's going to look like. In a moment, we'll talk about, and what am I supposed to do in light of it? But the reality is, the scripture talks about, no one knows, that it's going to be a surprise like the days of Noah. That the Lord was about a great work through Noah, and there's a great flood coming, and people were eating and marrying and doing all the normal stuff they do, but all of a sudden, the flood comes, and they're surprised. That's how the second coming is like, that it says only the Father knows. Only the Father knows. And it comes as a surprise. People are going to be driving their cars, if they have cars then, whatever. They're going to be doing their daily work. They're going to be doing their stuff. They're going to be walking their dogs around the allotment, whatever. And it's going to catch us a little bit by surprise. We might see that, yeah, the time's getting nearer and nearer, but all of a sudden when it happens, it's a surprise. It's one of those suddenly moments, if you've had a suddenly moment with God where you're doing something and all of a sudden God shows up. This is going to be even bigger. It's going to be a surprise. It's going to catch us off guard. So what in the world do I do with this? Now, what I did with it was I had read scripture about being careful that the Lord finds you ready and waiting when he comes. And so what I did was I thought, well, I'm unconscious when I'm sleeping, but if the Lord comes during the night, I want him to know I'm ready. So I'm going to lay my clothes out on the bed so that when he pops it up and says, I'm here, he'll say, oh, Scott's ready. He had his clothes ready to put on. Spiritual neurosis. It's a great thing. But Scripture is very clear about what I do in the meantime. It talks about abiding in Christ, abiding in him, abiding in Christ as we wait. It means not simply I'm saved on this date and born again, and so I just live life until he comes or I go home. But scripture talks about what it looks like to be abiding in Christ. It's talking about that today and the next day and the days of the future, that my life is a life lived abiding in Christ, having a relationship with Christ. I told the Lord a couple years ago, it's when I hit my 70th birthday, I said, Lord, if I want to be ready for heaven. If there's anything you see that you've been trying to talk to me about, that'd be really good to bring me on board, because I want to be ready. I don't want to be ashamed when you come or when I go home. I want to be joyous and confident in not myself, but in you and my relationship with you. And the Lord began a work of taking me to new places I hadn't been. And they're all about abiding in Christ. They're about relationship with Jesus Christ. It was about, in the morning, getting up and looking in the backyard and for my, we call it quiet time, whatever, but it's just a special time with the Lord. Sometimes it wasn't as exciting as the day before, but often it was. And it was just this sitting in my chair with now two cats. They curl up next to me. And I just spend time looking and thanking God. I thank God that I got 5 hours sleep. I thank God that I got 7 hours sleep. I thank God that my CPAP didn't fall off. I thank God for the trees. I thank God for the house. I thank God for the yard. And I thank God for these wonderful animals he had given me. I just move into a place of worship and learning how to be in his presence, worshiping him, but then experiencing his quiet and stillness coming to my heart and my soul. Then he talks, not always, but he talks to me in pictures. And there's this wonderful communion. I find that abiding in Christ when I come into worship this morning, and I was up at 7 and just enjoying time with the Lord and just say, Lord, I just cleanse the sanctuary today that the people of St. Luke's, that together we'll experience what it is to abide in you and you and us. And there will be sweet fellowship between yourself and us as we worship you, Lord, this morning. Abiding in Christ on Sundays, abiding in Christ every day of the week, abiding in Christ in our morning, in our noontime, in the evening, at night, going to bed abiding in Christ. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the things you were about. Thank you that there were no injuries when everyone came over for Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, you know, for this and that, and just to thank you, Lord. And then the next thing I know, I'm waking up the next morning. I didn't even realize I went to sleep. But the peace of God that passes all understanding is there because I'm abiding in Christ, and Christ is living in me. Going through the day and discovering God showing up in different ways in ministry, whether it's a person on the elevator, a person at the store, or something happens, and there's just, you realize that you're on holy ground and that the Lord has put you in the presence of another person and that he is there for a reason, maybe for me to say, can I pray with you? Abiding in Christ. Not waiting simply for his return, but in the meantime, abiding in Christ more and more, being ready for the day. How else do I get ready? Matthew 25, 31. And we were hearing it this morning, actually, in testimony too. It talks about when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment. Wow. Wow. The Lord, wow, he has a heart for the broken. He has a heart for the oppressed. He has a heart for those in bondage. He has a heart for the alien, the foreigner in a strange land. He has a heart for the person in prison. The Lord's heart is such that when a person is in pain of any kind, the Lord feels that pain. It's like, for you that have children, you might remember when your children were young, or even older, when they would be in pain, it was like you were in pain. Yeah, that's where the Lord is. That's where his heart is. And so the Lord's heart is going out to that person in need. And so that when that person's ministered to, the Lord is ministered to. There's the famous stories, and I always refer to them because they say so much, but you look at St. Francis of Assisi and being this person that was in the process of conversion, of being converted to Christ, and he hits this place that the Lord puts him, and the Lord puts him with a person with leprosy. And for St. Francis, he was so repulsed by leprosy, he just didn't want any part of it. One, it's highly contagious. Two, it's literally rotting flesh. It smells terrible. He did not want to have anything to do with leprosy. And so, of course, he's riding his horses one day, and there's a man with leprosy. And he's compelled to get off his horse. And as he gets off his horse to begin walking intently towards this man with leprosy, and he's really struggling. It's a real struggle for him. It's a struggle because it's just. It's something he didn't want to be around and would avoid at all costs. But here he was moving towards this person with leprosy. And as it would be, he took the leper's hand and kissed him. And then it talked about how then he saw the face of Christ. He saw the face of Christ in this man. And he was set free that day to minister to to a whole colony of lepers and to start an order that was engaged in ministering to these people that had such a disease. What I do to the least of these, I do to Jesus. I minister to Jesus. The thought of, I know everyone says, oh, I'd love to minister to Jesus. I want to be like the woman that, you know, pours oil over his head and this, and wonderful desire. But the Lord says, if you really want to minister to me, worship me, love me, but minister to those who are in need, who are hurting, who are alone, who are scared. There's so many people in the world today, and Jesus hurts with them, but he says, if you want to get ready for the second coming, remember, minister to the least of these, minister to the hurting, minister to the oppressed. There's a story of Martin of Tours, who was a soldier, and one day he was riding his horse, and he came across a person on a very cold, blustery day, it said, and freezing temperatures, and the man didn't have clothing. And so Martin tore his coat in two and gave half of it to that man. And the story goes that then there's a dream. And in the dream is all the glory of heaven and the angels and Jesus on the throne. And Jesus is wearing half a coat. Half a coat. And an angel says, why are you wearing that tattered old coat? And he said, my friend Martin gave it to me today. Yeah, yeah. We're talking about social work is great. I was a social work major in college. Social work is great. All these things are great. But it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus in need. And I reach out to other people. The congregation I was rector at for 38 years, Holy Spirit. Everything could go wrong during the week. But once I got to Thursday night was worship and food ministry and clothing ministry at the church. And I'm not suggesting every church needs to do this, but we were called to do it. And I remember driving into the parking lot, 825 East Buchtel, best years, and people lined up. And we'd open the door, and it was packed out. And there were people there just for food, but there were people there also for the Lord. And those that came for just food encountered the Lord. But I remember those nights, and we used to sing crazy songs like When the Roll is Called Up Yonder and I'll Fly Away. Renewal music wasn't cutting it in urban America at that time. So we went to the Baptist hymnals, and people singing, and we'd start singing I'll Fly Away, and they'd all start flapping their wings, and it's crazy. And we'd say, does anyone have a testimony? And someone stand up and say, yeah, someone threw a brick through my window. And then they'd sit down. And we'd say, was anyone hurt? And they'd say, no. And we'd say, praise God. There's a testimony there. Altar calls, people coming up, be touched by Jesus, and then food ministry. Seeing people fed. And did everyone have the right heart? No, they didn't. But I know one thing, that people met Jesus. But I know that I met Jesus in a way that I didn't meet him any other way. And so it's being filled with the heart of Jesus. It's not saying, I need to do this, I need to do that, I should do this, I should do that. It's about abiding in Christ in such a way that he grows in my heart. He births his love in my being in such a way that it becomes a natural thing for me to see the person in need. Now, Did Jesus minister to everyone in need? And the answer is no. He didn't. He ministered to who he ministered to. He didn't catch every leper. He didn't catch every person. But he went to the person the Father was leading him to, in the Holy Spirit. And there he ministered to that need, whatever it was. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. We don't have money. We're not rich. We don't have everything someone needs, but we got Jesus. And just to be with someone who's in need is a powerful thing, ministering to Jesus. Amen. Father God, you're doing something today. You're stirring something in us, I think, Lord. You're stirring your love in our hearts in a fresh way. Lord, we thank you so much that when we ask you to baptize us in your Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, you do that. But there's also a baptism of love. Your love, Lord. What the world calls love is so self-centered. It's so ego-based. It's so prideful. But the love, your love, the love of Christ is so humble. It's humility, Lord. Your heart breaks for the broken and lost. So we pray, Lord, that as we get ready for your coming, whenever it is, that, Lord, we would abide in you more and more, in you and us, that you would impart your love into our hearts and minds. Lord, that Holy Spirit, you would show us maybe one person each day, or maybe it's more than one, that you have a divine appointment for us to meet with them, that we would recognize them wherever we are. That when we're distracted, Lord, and we're coming by that person, you just give us a little tug on our shirt and say, hey, bud, it's this one. And that we would just be with that person to love them, to encourage them, to pray for them. Lord, thank you for the truth that you're coming back. And thank you that you're getting us ready, for our hope is in you. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.